go. Welcome to the sixth iteration of the I Teach podcast. And during this go round, we're not just going to explore technology's implication in education, but we're also going to discuss issues within education and the convergence of technology. But first, we do need to introduce ourselves. We're a team of coaches from Kennesaw State University's iTeach team. My name is Max Gertz. I came from a high school setting, and I've coached in a variety of different type schools, from a vocationally based academy to my current blended learning pilot school. And as a twist, we're going to talk about what drives us to do what we do with iTeach. So my why when it comes to education is all about students' ability to access quality education. And that is my why. I will now throw it over to Hannah Rome to introduce herself.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm Hannah Rome, and I have been in education for 10 years. Before joining this team of coaches with iTeach, I worked with elementary school as specifically a lower grades teacher with pre-K and kindergarten. And really why I love doing this role as a coach with teachers is just really help them learn how to engage kids in different ways. It was one of my most favorite times being with students to kind of see the joy on their face when they really get to explore something new and doing it in a different way. So that kind of drives me in continuing my work with educators. And I'll pass it over to Tamika.
Hey, everyone. I am Tamika Duffy. This is my 14th year in education. The first 10 years were spent in early elementary education, where I did upper grades, mostly third through fifth. This is my fourth year with iTeach. And in speaking about my why for what I do, when in the classroom and now with iTeach, I feel like it's all about the kids and advocating for my belief that learning is not a one-size-fits-all package deal. When in the classroom, I was able to give these experiences to my students by allowing them to have choices and be vested in the learning. And with iTeach, I am now able to do it at a more top-down approach by assisting teachers and others that want to give students these experiences and empower them to drive their learning as well. We're going to be starting every episode off with a short story. And so I want to pass it over to Jamila, and she will give you the moment she realized or the story for her moment she realized that she needed a podcast like this.
Thank you, Tamika. So hello, everyone. I am Jamila Colbert. This is my 10th year in education and my fourth year with iTeach. Before coming over to iTeach, I'm a primary grades person at heart. That's where my heart is. But I did teach pre-K, K, 1, 3, and 5. So a little bit of all of elementary school. But again, pre-K and the little people have my heart. So, Tamika, you mentioned the why, and well, everybody kind of, you know, told their why behind it. So ironically, my why drives us into today's story, because my why for being with iTeach and getting to do what I do every day, which I love what I do, is I like being being able to be the person that helps with what I didn't receive in the classroom. So let me kind of expand on that. When I was in the classroom, I've always worked in Title I schools, and I've always worked in large districts. My last district, more specifically, you know, we had these instructional technology specialists who were mainly at the district level. So I think there were maybe six at the time. They were one assigned to each region, and they would come out and they would do, you know, like a training. I would be dropping off my kids quickly to go to planning period and have to sit down, you know, and listen to some information about technology, and that would kind of be it. I would see them maybe once a year, twice a year at the most. And, you know, it was kind of just where we were expected to implement things. And it would have been really great to have like a podcast or some type of information where people, you know, can kind of like-minded people can kind of talk about information, talk about what's working in the classroom, things that aren't working in the classroom, different technology, how to really implement it. So for me, I love the ability now to kind of really not just be standoffish in terms of, okay, here's the information, and then I'm just going to leave you and kind of let you run with it. I love now being able to sit down and work with the teachers, work with the kids, and make sure they really have an understanding of what it is they're doing, why they're doing it, And things like that. So that's my little story time for today. Is when I was in the classroom, I would have loved somebody to be able to help me just a little bit more, or at least be able to listen to a podcast that would help me out a little bit more.
And you know what, Jamila, you mentioned some of the biggest things as far as not being able to get what you got. And I think that our roles that we can play currently now, I think the biggest asset that we have is the fact that we've been there. So another right. big problem that I had also was time. So staying in the know, you go to the PDs, you want to get tips and tricks, you want to be able to go to the conferences, but you don't have time because your time is allocated with meetings, or your PD is planned at specific times, and then that's planned for what you'll do. So I can agree with you totally there. So the boring PD, and let's get to a podcast like this.
That's right. So guys, like in general, what's your go-to tech tool that can be used in any classroom that you go into?
Well, you already know I'm going to say Nearpod.
I know. Go ahead, Tamika. What is it about Nearpod that you really love?
Choices, choices, choices. But buffet style. It allows you to tailor to fit the needs of your students without having teacher burnout, because you're all in one platform. And whatever's not there, you can order it a la carte. I'm sorry, I had to relate it to food, y'all. Nearpod is a burnout choice. For those of you that don't know, it's a platform where you can teach front of class, you can teach where you're moving your students' screens virtually, and you can also teach or give out a lesson where they can move it at their own pace. So it's choices, choices, choices.
You know, Tamika, I know you're a Nearpod lover. I really do. And I love Nearpod myself. That's actually my second on my list of my top tech tools right now. Actually, first, surprisingly, and I have to say surprisingly, because right now my top tool is probably Microsoft Teams. And the surprising part about that is because before this, I was a go hard Google girl, and I still love Google. However, Teams, I love its functionality. I love how everything is kind of built in. I love how you can bring the content in. You can bring that Nearpod in there. You can bring Flipgrid built in. And so it's all in one location. I love the communication both between students as well as your colleagues. I love all of the emojis and the just everything, again, that you can just really build in there. Like, it's a one-stop shop. The videos are great, things like that. So if you have not checked out Microsoft Teams and your district has access to it, you're missing
out. You know what,
guys? You should.
This kind of makes me think about, with Nearpod and Teams, how great those tools have been for this virtual learning experience that we've all
had. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I'm going to play peacekeeper and say anything that really can be integrated into a platform has really been helpful for what's been going on for the last, 8 months now? It's been really difficult, I know. And to kind of touch on that and tie it into all of our personal beliefs, it really touches on what iTeach does in embedding personalized learning. And I know I can speak for myself when I say my personal crusade is really to embed executive functioning for all the students I work with, and really understand that kids, when kids understand how to advocate for themselves, like Tamika was talking about earlier, or modulate their work habits, it's like a light goes off. Hannah, what PL strategies are you particularly interested in the classroom?
You know, I always kind of go to, like you said, executive functioning, but I also think about growth mindset. And especially when thinking about our roles as coaches with working with both teachers and students, I know we always think about growth mindset with students, but I think as adults, we kind of need to make sure that we're modeling and having that same growth mindset we hope kids have. And I always found that, like, you know, we're all kind of reluctant to things we don't feel comfortable with and things that make us a little uneasy because we don't know the ins and outs of it. And when I face those reluctancies with teachers, I feel like if we kind of help teachers grasp a hold of that ability to accept those mistakes and have those plan Bs and know what to do if something goes wrong, then that's a really good mindset for them to kind of transition into their students. So I feel like if we kind of give ourselves some time to accept those changes and kind of roll with it, then we're all going to be able to kind of do more with those implementations we're trying to do. And especially during this virtual learning, I think this has all been such a growing time for us. And I think that those teachers who have been really successful with this virtual teaching have been those that have had that growth mindset.
I agree.
Yeah, I love that idea. I always think back to a meeting we all had when we could be together, and I think of failing forward together. I'm sorry I cut you off, Tamika. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything else. Keep going, Max. I love where you're going with that.
No, I mean, I'm just thinking about how we always think about failing as maybe an end point when we think fixed mindset. And Hannah brings up a really important point that it's not just for the kids, but it's for all the educators in the room as well. And I think that when we're talking about all this failing forward and moving forward, we're talking about a different kind of education. And over a cloud kind of hanging over everything is the future of what we're doing in education now. So learning remotely, teaching remotely, and does it go on? Is it really beneficial for our students, or is it kind of something that it's a one and done when we finally, hopefully, have a vaccine, have immunity to a virus that is keeping us all separated. And I think the one thing we can't do is kind of yo-yo back and forth the way that I've seen so many schools doing, especially recently. I think that maybe hurts students more than anything. And I really do believe in continuity. So I'm gonna kind of pinpoint it there and let you guys think about, does blended learning, does remote learning kind of continue on beyond this year?
So I actually think that we're never going backwards. Like, we're never going back to pre-March 2020. Now, I definitely agree with you with this whole yo-yoing backwards. Today, we're out of school. Tomorrow, we're, you know, virtually. Today, we're simultaneous. It's just a mm-hmm. lot. But I don't think that it's ever going to go back to just every student is in the classroom all day. You know, we have eight hours. We all go to lunch. It's just, I don't see that ever going backwards. And I think about that just in the sense of so much has changed in this time. You know, we knew about blended learning and things like that, but watching it really play out, even in the actual workplace, when you think about how our jobs and our lives have changed and corporate world has changed, like there's so many things that has changed that the concept of just going back to the quote unquote old norm, it's not ever going to happen again. I think there's always going to be, like, even if we go back completely face to face or something like that, I think there's always going to be an option for some type of blended learning or some type of virtual, you know, class on that grade level or something. I just think that ultimately we're going to have to redesign the way schools weren't working to begin with. Anyway.
And I kind of hope this keeps us with the spirit of autonomy and kind of letting, I think it's really brought up the point of how we all don't need to be held. I mean, we need to be held accountable for the things that we're doing, but we don't need someone from, you know, Big Brother up above to be like putting their fist down and saying, this is the way it has to be done. I think now we've all learned that we can all be accountable in choosing what way we want to be most efficient. And I think that this situation, like Jamila, you said, in every aspect of life has really shown itself to be effective. Like, we're all capable of managing ourselves, and so are our students. So I think this is going to really help us with that piece of building teacher and student autonomy and continuing that towards the future.
You know, there's a lot that was said between what Jamila and Hannah and what we've been talking about on the call. And it all goes back to, number one, having those choices. Number two, having that growth mindset to be able to adjust to what it is, the situation that you're dealing with. And number three, having that executive functioning to know how to work your way through it. And that goes with the teachers and the students. So I agree with everything that has been said. And those three things are still sticking out with me. Executive functioning, growth mindset, voice and choice, you know.
And I really think all of that speaks to the authenticity of what we're doing now. There's really a push to do everything with intentionality and with purpose. So that's why I agree with everyone that this type of learning isn't going away. But I also think it needs to, like Jamila said, embody best practices and embody what we can do to help our students advance themselves. So that really speaks to executive functioning, like Tamika was talking about. That really speaks to that growth mindset, like Hannah was talking about. If we're really going to make school an effective stepping stone to whatever comes next, whether that is college, whether that is technical school, whether that is a career, we have to make school as much like that experience and allow students to grow into their lives as we can. And I think that's where I put my stamp on personalized learning. And I love that piece of it. and the intentionality of it, and how much we're really trying to do for students to take control of what they are meant to do.
Absolutely.
So, Tamika, I am going to move it to you. We do have one host who hasn't been here with us. Luke Ziegler will join us in our very next episode.
We
do. Life is happening. It's 2020, everybody. But I am going to move it to Tamika to wrap us up and take us home on our first episode.
Well, you know what? I want to wrap it up with this. We've said a lot in this short amount of time. And there may have been some words that have come out that you may have never heard of. There may have been some tools that have come out that you may have never heard of. However, the thing that I want to say is that time is of the essence. And so if you could actually think about listening to a podcast like this every couple of weeks to get those words that you may need or something to send you in another direction, you actually can take a podcast like this, throw it in while you're pre-planning, while you're post-planning, while you're planning, or while you're in the car sitting in traffic. And if you live in the Atlanta area, you know that is a big issue. I just want to wrap it up by saying a lot has been said here today, and we want to just offer you the opportunity to tune in with us so that we can continue to wrap around with these conversations and give you the ideas of what we have going on. I think as educators, we all share some of the same frustrations, and we need to just be able to bounce off one another. So I just want to invite you to stay tuned with us with the I Teach podcast, and there's more to come.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.